I was on my way here today, and I had already written the message, and for some reason, didn't stick. And this message kept sticking to me, and I don't know why. You know, I try to pray and ask God to lead us into what we need to talk about. And this is one that we've covered previous, but not recently. And so I hope that it blesses us. It's about gaining momentum. And this is probably one of my favorite messages that speak to me about taking tiny steps and then making them count. And when I listen to your guys' testimonies about all the things that you're going through, it fits into this. You know, because we make these strides, we're trying to get this progress, trying to go somewhere, but we're always at risk of you know, what could happen next. You know, we've lived such vicarious lifestyles that we're just not sure what's next. And a lot of times, it's our own self that's the biggest problem. I mean, most of the time, it's ourselves. You know, I think some of the guys that have made a lot of progress in faith and grown in their relationship with God have found an ability to put that flesh at ease, you know, and stop that draw that tends to lead us and tempt us in these directions. And we need to really take a look at this. If we want to succeed, we have to really take a look at what the Word says about moving forward. And over the last, oh gosh, I'd say, 8 weeks or so, we've covered many different things about changes, accepting change, allowing bitterness in our lives, allowing unforgiveness in our lives, removing unforgiveness and removing bitterness. And you see, those things are the common things that keep us in that groove of oppression. And Pastor Charles said last week, have you ever been sucked down in the pit? You know, I cracked up when he said the little bird got sucked in the vacuum cleaner. Good to hear that he made it, though. He just lost his song. And I think that's an accurate point about a lot of us and how awesome it really could be, but we've just lost our ability to see the other side of things. You know, we see so much of the struggle and so much of the responsibility and so much of the challenge that it stops us from smelling the flowers, and it stops us from taking that next tiny step. Because, you know, I mean, even in Emmett's case, you say, well, I don't like this, you know, being sober. Well, it's just uncomfortable because it's different. It doesn't mean that it's worse or better. And I think that each and every one of us who have lived with massive amounts of addiction in our lives have reached a point after so much time has gone by where it becomes comfortable to not be high, rather. You know, so it'd be weird to be high, now it's good to be sober. You know, but it's just that consistency of taking these tiny steps and allowing that to sit still and grow. You know? So, when we're talking about gaining momentum, God talks to Cain and Abel in Genesis. And He says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So herein lies the secret to mastering the direction of our flesh and against the challenges that we're facing every day. So basically, ask yourself this. When you go out of your way and you do something kind for someone and you achieve that kindness, does it make you feel good? Right? Does it? Yes or no? It doesn't? It does? I don't know. It does make you feel better? So, but then when you go out and you do something maybe that you knew that you should not have done, or you take a risk and then you fail because of something you shouldn't have been involved with, does that make you feel bad? It does? So look at this simple principle that we're talking about right now. And He says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? So that's simply saying, if I set myself in position to continue to take tiny steps forward and do the right thing, it's going to build up my character. It's going to build up my strength. It's going to give me my courage. It's going to give me what it takes to face that next challenge, that next opportunity, that next thing in my way. I'm going to take these tiny steps, see? And but the flip side is, if you do not do well, now here's us taking the wrong decision. Not only did we choose to do the bad decision, but now look, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. So this is double negative. So not only is the devil poking and shooting at me, telling me I got to get high today, I don't have enough money today, I'm not happy with my house today, I'm not happy with my car or my girlfriend or whatever it may be, that he's poking and prodding me to make, to tempt me to take that risk, right? So not only do I choose to do the wrong thing, then it's sitting there waiting for me. What did he say last week? He said, it's just like the rain. I love this analogy. I'm just soaking this up all week. I listened to it three times last week. He said that being inside this building is like being protected from the rain. Like when you're in God, you're protected from the rain of sin and chaos and sin crouching at the door. But as soon as we make that negative decision and we dive through that door, we take that risk, that sin is out there. It's waiting for us. So now I got to deal with what I chose to do and what I've been rewarded for it. Amen? So that's interesting. And then at the end of the verse, he says, but you must master it. So here's the challenge, really. The challenge is that I am learning to live a spiritual lifestyle after living a fleshly lifestyle. And it's contrary to everything I think. It's contrary to everything I feel. It's contrary to my natural go-to. It doesn't make sense to me, and it's uncomfortable. Because I'm comfortable in my flesh. Because my flesh wants it now, and I'm used to catering to myself. Right? So, but he said, you must master it. Mastery is dominion. It's supreme authority. It's rulership. So the question is, who is in charge of you? And the truth is, I should be in charge of me. And if I'm in charge of me, and I'm making bad decisions, who's responsible for that? Right? And if I'm in charge of me and I'm making good decisions, I could only say that God's responsible for that, because I have found that there are no good decisions in the flesh. Right? That every single time I go back on my experience and everything I've been through, I take the easier way out. Yes or no? But when I do the right thing, it builds me up. It makes me feel better. It gives me strength. So there's the secret in facing this. So master of the vessel, my thoughts, my intentions, my words, my actions, and this is how I gain momentum. So in my thoughts today, when I'm by myself and I'm thinking and something comes in my mind that doesn't quite fit with my spirituality, immediately I got to flag that and kick it out. Because if I let that sit in my mind, if I let that fester in my heart, then it's going to destroy me. You know, many, many different teachings about the mind being the battlefield, and a lot of times it starts here. It starts right here. It's just an idea. It was a passing idea. Now I've dwelled on it a little bit. Now it's built up. Now I'm thinking about acting. So this little tiny idea that I played with a minute ago and laughed at and came back and grew and festered into an action that had repercussions. When I could have caught it, when it was a teeny little thing in my mind, I could have said, nope, not today. Not today. I'm not having that today. I rebuke you in the name of Christ. I'm moving forward, right? You're going to offer me that? I'm not having that today. Amen. You know, sometimes we're going to be around the fire. We're going to feel the flame. And that's when we got to reach in and just get that faith in our life. And you know, I use God as a shield many times in my life. I've had, you know, different women try to contact me from the past and things like that. And they ask me how I'm doing immediately. I'm like, whoa, we're in the ministry. We're doing great in the ministry. You know, I don't come out like that, like, come on out to the ministry. I come out like that because I know that Ben can't always be trusted. Throws a flag. That's right. He catches that because that's out of the sequence of operation. And in our sequence of operation, if I'm not knowledgeable about it, I can't catch it. So if I'm not in the Word, I'm not going to flag it. If I'm not in the Word around me, I'm not going to catch it. But staying in the Word gives me the ability to know when to throw my flag, right? But see, that's how we deal with these things. You know, we stay in that Word. We got to start mastering our thoughts. And there's a simple fact here, that it takes 3 days to form a habit, 3 weeks, sometimes months to break one. So it takes me 3 days to start my decline. And then it takes me 3 weeks to months to break that decline. You know, so it's so much easier just to stay on point. It doesn't feel uncomfortable because I might not be accepted right now. All my buddies, everybody I'm around may be doing this and maybe leading me to feel like I need to do something a certain way. But I stay in Christ right then, and I'm protecting the next how many months or whatever or years from that decision that I'm about to make. You know, it's not worth it. And we talked just a few months ago, or about maybe 8 weeks or so, about the conscience versus the subconscious and being the robot. And basically, to sum that all the way up, a robot only knows what you program it to do. It only knows what you put in it. And our flesh is very similar to that robot. So for how many ever years you put that programming in that flesh, it's accepted that programming. And now it's rudimentary. Right? I want to get high. I want a bunch of money. I want a pretty car. I want to succeed faster than I'm going to earn the way I'm going to get. I'm going to cut these corners. That's the flesh because that's the way it operates. It's been programmed like that since day one. So now, having been exposed to the Spirit, it's so much harder for me to break that chain and break that cycle. You know, I got to allow the love of God in my life to start to put an end to that. So the choice is, if I choose to do right, it builds me up. And if I choose to do wrong, it tears me down. And it's funny because it really is that simple, right? Because I wish somebody would just come and tell me the secret of life and then I would just succeed. Well, God did that very clearly. But the problem is, as a human operating in my flesh, I have ability to distort the truth and make it fit and acclimate to my lifestyle. But see, the Bible says, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Jesus came, so I'm the same yesterday, as today, as tomorrow. So this does not change. The only thing that changes is me. And I have to accept that. I can't take God and make God fit to the way that I want Him to fit in my life so I can get away with the things that I want to get away with. I have to accept God for who He is and follow His direction of what He wants from me. And then once I accept that, then I can grow, then I can change. Now, in Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that ever lived, he said in conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this can make you whole again. And I'm going to ask you guys, many of you guys are out there and you feel empty. You feel like something's missing. You feel like you're struggling from time to time. Some of you guys are not. You've made great progress. That's awesome. But you can always think of the times of when you had that hunger that couldn't be filled. It very clearly states in the word, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied. So are the hearts of men. And what he's saying is, when I give myself to that temptation, when I give myself to that flesh, it's never good enough. No matter what. I've had friends in my lives that have sacrificed their time for great gain that's been taken away. I've had times in my life when I've had exceptional, phenomenal amounts of gain that has been taken away. But it was never, at one time ever in my life, did I think to myself, this is enough. Right? Did you ever reach that point where you were just like, okay, I got every single thing I need, I'm good? It's not. Because when I turn my mind and my goal and my focus to feed that hole, it only sinks to the bottom. It can never be filled. And that's what he's talking about. When you, in the conclusion, when all has been heard and everything has been through, he says, fear God and keep His commandments because it can make you whole again. How can I eliminate this hunger and this need and this drive and this void that I have? Where is this emptiness going to go? What is the solution to this void in my life? It's Christ. And it's so bad because I don't want to accept that right now because it's so much easier for me to fill it with everything else I can get my hands on. But in end result, as I can keep filling and filling and filling, it might stuff it up, but eventually it's going to burp down. It's going to be empty again. I got to fill it up. If getting high was the answer, then why do I have to get high tomorrow? If drinking was the answer, then why do I got to drink tomorrow? If all of this sin was the correct answer, then why do I have to continue doing it to feel better only to wake up and feel worse? It's obviously not the answer. Amen? Yes or no? Right? But Jesus Christ can come in there and pave that out, and we don't feel that hole anymore. We don't feel that pain anymore. We get that love of God in our life, and all of a sudden we get a new energy that gives us new confidence to do new things, to take smaller steps in the right direction. People begin to view us differently. You know, over time, you regain confidence of relationships and family that you've lost, you thought you lost forever. God can do that. He said, able to make you whole again. Amen? Complete, filled, become whole, complete again. I know that I want to feel whole. Amen? I want to feel confident. Which one is that? Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 14. So then the master of Proverbs says to increase in wisdom and confidence is like well-driven nails. So what's he talking about here? He said a well-driven nail is it fulfills its purpose. If I take a well-driven nail, wham, it's going to hold. It's secure. I don't have to worry about it falling apart. I don't have to worry about it, you know, breaking loose. It's doing what it's supposed to do. I can depend on it. But see, the difference is I've been kind of like a broken screw my whole life. I've never really been able to hold the boards together until Christ come into my life. I become a well-driven nail. What's happening? My home's becoming to be secure. My relationship with my family, my wife, my children, my job, the things, the opportunities that are coming my way are secure. They're not wavering. They're not at risk because it's a well-driven nail. Does that make sense? So when God comes into your life, He brings stability. And instability is something we don't want to have. Amen? Amen? Hebrews, so therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I want to talk about laying aside every encumbrance, right? An encumbrance is a lien or a liability attached to a real property. So let's talk about real estate right now. So each and every single one of you guys is a house. And there's a deed. There's an owner to this house. Amen? It's you and whoever you lean it to. And what he describes this is he calls it every encumbrance, a lien or liability attached to a real property, meaning that if I give the devil stake in my life, then he owns my property. If I give myself to the devil and he begins, but it's not really me giving myself to the devil. It's me meeting a pretty girl. It's me, you know, partying on the weekend. It's me making light of the sin that I'm allowing to live in my life every day. It's never the devil. He doesn't come along with a pitchfork and a funny tail and make funny jokes with little serfs of cartoons next to him. It's addiction, right? It's bad choices. It's all the presentation of all the things that want to destroy me. Because why? At the very beginning, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. So here's the deal. If I know you and I know what your chink in your armor is, then that's where I'm coming. If I know you're tough and I can't face you head on, then I'll bring my lady in after you. And I'll bring my money in after you. I'll bring my high after you, right? I'll make you feel better than you ever felt ever for 18 minutes and then destroy your life and make your children hate you. Right? Think about it. You know, the devil's not going to present himself as an adversary. He's going to present himself as a friend. You know, I love you, Gonzalez. Let's roll out. We're going to go do this. You're all good. Let's do this. We got this, right? And then all of a sudden, here I am again. How did I get here? What happened? But he said, we have a great cloud of witness surrounding us to lay aside every encumbrance. So that means I'm not going to let the devil have stake on this property anymore. Amen? I'm going to remove that. Last week, Pastor Charles talked about spiritual gangbanging. Every single time you kick one out and let him back in, he comes back 7 times stronger. Right? But how many more things? How many more things to deal with? Well, a minute ago, I was easily agitated. But I allowed that to come back, and now all of a sudden, I'm stealing things. I've never been one to steal things. I don't know why that is. Well, that's because I kicked the demons out, and I let them back in strong. I kick them out, and I let them back in strong. Now, pretty soon, what did he say? He said, we are legion. What is legion? Many. So how many issues do I really want to deal with in my life? How many times do I want to revisit this? I got to think about that. But he said, let us run the race with endurance,
the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. For consider him who endured such a hostility to sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. So when you think of our true leader and you think of what he was willing to sacrifice to give us this opportunity, we got to take that into consideration. Amen?
Amen.
I have yet to sacrifice myself for anyone else. Let alone for somebody who didn't even care about me. Endurance is the capacity to support without breaking or yielding countenance. You want to be tough today? Get endurance in your life. The capacity to support without breaking or yielding countenance. Hence, it implies the struggle, which is different from patience. A lot of times we say, Lord, give me patience. But patience, by definition, is the ability to suffer or the quality to suffer harm, pain, hardship, and affliction with calmness. So that means, Lord, give me patience means put me under duress and give me pain and let me see if I can smile. I don't want any more patience. Amen. I've got enough patience already. It might be short, okay, but I don't want any more. I want endurance because I will not break. My mindset is fixed on the goal. And what we can say here is past, you know, victories lead to present help, because what we've seen is with these tiny little steps, we've made great progress. But you don't see it right away. When I'm in the middle of it, I'm not anywhere where I want to be. But when I look back, I can see how far God has brought me. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I've made tremendous gains thanks to my faith. Amen. And I give that glory to God. It's got nothing to do with me, but I can see the progress over time. Remember we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about seed time, right? Many of us putting forth a lot of effort and we're not seeing the results from it. You know, I'm putting forth a lot of effort. I want to see my results. But the Lord said, as far as day and night and rain and shower and summer and winter shall not cease. It's that seed time. That when I continue to plant good things in my life, I got to give it the time. Whether it be 6 months, 6 days, 6 years, I got to wait for that growth, for that harvest. And it will come. Amen. Because he said it would. And he said, my word does not come back to me void without accomplishing what I sent it forth to do. So I know that when I align myself with this word and I put myself in there and I allow that seed time and I stay persistent and moving forward, that I'm going to start reaping them new crops. Amen. The new crops of a relationship that I can depend on. A new crop of looking my child in the eyes and knowing that I am the man that they need me to be. Amen? Right? Whereas 15 years ago, I couldn't look them straight in the eyes. Right? So, think about this. Matthew 12 says, justice to victory. In him, the Gentiles will have hope. The expectation with anticipation. Humble myself. Fear the Lord. Do what is right. Keep his commandments with the expectation and anticipation of victory through him. So I know the Lord will save me. And I know that what I'm going through is temporary. And that's where my victory is. My victory is in Christ. And it says here, and that's funny that Marvin pointed out, the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Here's the key to momentum. I'm not quite sure the direction that I'm going today. But as long as I'm putting my trust in God, I'm putting my strength in God, I'm using my talents for God, even though I be uncomfortable because it's not my understanding that I'm leaning on. Right? I've been taught to follow my own understanding. But now I'm starting to lean on God's understanding, which is kind of contrary to everything else that I've been through. It makes me slightly uncomfortable, but it says that he will make my path straight. In 1 Corinthians, he says, learn from our ancestors' mistakes. Learn from their mistakes. Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a man who repeats his folly. Have you ever seen a dog come up and puke and then decide to eat it right in front of you? How does that make you feel? and laugh at him. It's gross. It's hilarious. He's beneath you, right? But picture God looking at Ben and Ben's addiction to whatever it may be, and Ben returning to this addiction, which cost him everyone's trust and lost all of his family and did how many years in prison, only to come back home and eat that vomit again. Yes or no? That's how God views us. So I mean, not that He doesn't love me, not that you don't love your dog, but it sucks to watch him eat the vomit, right? You don't want him to do it. You love your child, you don't want him to touch the hot stove. Amen? Think about it. So, though a right man falls seven times, he gets back up seven times. All of our successes are built on failures. All the past success was built on failures. It says, learn from our ancestors so that we don't have to repeat that, right? So we think about these things that we've been through, the things that they've been through, and we read that and we think, how does that apply to me? How can I learn from that? Look at my life and the things that I've struggled. Take that advice to not go that route. Amen. If you got kids today, relay them and show them Christ's love so that they may not have to follow that same path that we've chosen to go. I know you don't want your kids to follow down the same road that you've gone, right? The only way to do it is to lead by example. Because no matter what I say to you, it's what I do that really matters. And no matter what I say about my faith, it's what I do that really matters. Because I can make this word look picture perfect to you and then hide behind the wall. But God is not mocked. Amen? In Philippians 3:3, it says, "For we of the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of Christ and glory in Him put no confidence in the flesh." Put no confidence in the flesh. We got to put our confidence in God. We got to turn our mindset around and give God an opportunity to work in our lives. Amen. God, these are the things that I'm dealing with, right? Here's where I'm slacking. I'm talking about momentum today. Very simply put, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So, on my knees, by myself, in my bedroom, with the door shut, Father God, these are my temptations. I'm not quite sure how to bring this to your temple, but I know that you know it already. Because you know my innermost thought. You know everything I've ever been through and everything I've done. So here's the deal. I'm not going to be secretive about it. I'm going to put it on the table and I'm going to ask you, Father God, to give me the tools and the courage to face it so that I can then run with endurance. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray.